This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 1st. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a look back at a gun buyback program in the suburb of Maywood from last week and what its impact might have been. We'll also have a forecast from meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, a look at today's news. Thousands of marchers are expected to rally in Chicago today for immigration rights, and Champaign organizers expect a rally of their own. Demonstrators will meet west of the Loop in Chicago and march through downtown to Grant Park. Organizers say people are coming from Joliet, Rockford, and northern Indiana. In Champaign, a similar march will start at 11 o'clock at Neal and Green Streets and move east to the U of I Quad, where there will be a rally. Organizers in Chicago are hoping to mimic last year when hundreds of thousands of flag-waving, chanting participants gathered in the heart of downtown. But a last-minute venue change by Chicago police have them scrambling to publicize a more remote location and second-guessing authorities. Marchers were scheduled to hold the rally this afternoon at Daley Plaza, but yesterday Chicago police said the site wasn't big enough. Carle Foundation Hospital will not challenge a state ruling that keeps it from building a new surgical center in Coles County. The Urbana Hospital had planned a $3.1 million facility outside Mattoon, but in March, the Illinois Health Facilities Planning Board said the surgical center would duplicate already underutilized facilities there, including its Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center. A release from Carle says it still believes there's a market for its services, but it won't appeal the state's decision, and it has no plans to build a surgery center at this time. Carle, though, still plans to expand its clinic there. Illinois already has tough penalties for drunk driving, but a plan that would warn against getting behind the wheel while intoxicated and at the same time honor the victims of alcohol-related crashes is now making its way through the legislature. Krista Kukowski has more.
The loss of a loved one by an untimely death can be hard, especially if someone else was to blame, such as a drunk driving crash. A proposal to allow grieving families to set up roadside markers in memory of a loved one moved through the Illinois House. Democratic Representative Susana Mendoza of Chicago is the sponsor.
I think it's a really great way to be able to honor the victims of these crashes, give a little bit of closure and a little bit better feeling to their family members.
The road markers would say, "Please don't drink and drive," and would have the victim's name and date of death on them. Some lawmakers were concerned it would clutter the sides of roads or create more work for the Department of Transportation, who would be in charge of installing the markers. Families who choose to have a marker would have to pay the cost. The measure now moves to the Senate. I'm Krista Kukowski.
A newspaper reporter from New Orleans says seeing the recovery of a natural disaster overseas was encouraging for a city still struggling to rebound from Hurricane Katrina. Jed Horn is the metro editor of the New Orleans Times-Picayune. In the aftermath of the hurricane, he saw Kobe, Japan, where an earthquake devastated the region 10 years earlier. He toured the area with an urban planning professor from the University of Illinois. Horn spoke to planning students on the U of I campus yesterday. He says the Japanese city experienced several problems of its own.
The cautionary note is that it took them 10 years, and I need to be constantly hosed down in my own frustrations as I watch New Orleans make the usual number of political gaffes and stupid decisions to remember that Kobe went through the same thing and that we very likely will take a long time, too.
Having said that, Horn says New Orleans is on its way back and that the national media has created some misconceptions. He says it's easier for a TV camera to get footage of a shattered building than capture a citizens' movement that's made strides in recent months. Horn also authored a book called Breach of Faith that he says seeks to correct poor impressions of New Orleans residents. He calls the book a study in resilience. Champaign City Council gets a new member tonight. Council member Karen Foster will be sworn in, as will three other members who won new terms in last month's elections, Marcy Dodds, Tom Bruno, and Deborah Frank Finan. Mayor Jerry Schweihart will also be sworn in. He'll serve a third term in office after having no opposition in the election. The ceremonies take place in the Champaign Council chambers tonight. One of the state tourism department's seven wonders of Illinois may also be one of its least known. The state has revealed the seven sites judged by online voters to be wonders. There was no definition attached to the word wonder, though. The University of Illinois' Allerton Park and Retreat Center made the list. Its operations director, Jim Gortner, says the 1,500-acre park left to the U of I by philanthropist Robert Allerton is known for its story as much for its manicured gardens, wild space, and impressive statuary.
I think the story isn't apparent until you get here and see the magnitude of the vision Allerton had when he created this place. And then I think the story is what resonates with people.
Allerton inherited the massive estate from his father along with another 11,000 acres of farmland. It takes about $800,000 a year to maintain the park. Gortner says a change in Allerton Park's funding structure will now allow for facelifts on the park's mansion, sunken gardens, and its most prominent statue, the Sun Singer. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. There are now slightly fewer guns in and around Maywood, Illinois, a village of about 27,000 people just west of Chicago. The guns were collected during a 5-day gun buyback based at several churches there last week. People were encouraged to bring in any kind of gun in exchange for $100 in credit card gift certificates, no questions asked. The organizers are pleased with the results, even though they know that research says that buybacks don't make much of a dent in gun violence. They say a buyback's effect isn't just about the guns. Illinois Public Radio's Diantha Parker reports.
If people are planning to turn in their guns, will they be less likely to actually leave the house if the weather is bad? Buyback organizer Zoe Smith was a little worried about that when she woke up on the rainy Wednesday of last week. But Smith said people still came to the basement of the United Faith Missionary Baptist Church on South Fifth Avenue. She and some other organizers were waiting for them in a room with some folding tables, a small altar, and rows of empty light green chairs.
We have senior citizens who found guns in their dumpsters. I just saw a student come in a Georgetown sweatshirt, so it's all kinds of people in the community and nearby communities, not just Maywood.
Smith is based in the village. She's a student at Loyola University's medical school. She looks doctorish in her short white coat, but she says as a first year, she's not allowed to touch anything in the hospital, just observe. And she's seen enough to tell me that about 18% of all cases that come to her ER are Maywood residents with gunshot wounds. She got some other students together with professors, Maywood's mayor, and the police department to talk about a buyback. Also there were local pastors and Ceasefire, a group that works against gun violence.
It almost became the only option right away. That's something that we could do that's tangible and something we could reproduce. So we wanted something that was attainable in a short period of time.
A big aspect of the buyback is no questions asked, so it's a little weird to be there with a tape recorder wanting to ask questions. Maywood police officer Percy Allen was around on Wednesday to handle and store the weapons, as he'd been doing at other churches throughout the week. He said no one had been very chatty.
Well, I take that back. We had a senior citizen came in, and she said that her husband had passed away and she just wanted to get the guns out of her house.
There's a theme here. The one person who came to drop off a gun in the time Chicago Public Radio was there was another senior citizen who declined to be interviewed. He brought a .22 revolver with a somewhat grubby white plastic handle enclosed in a folded newspaper. Officer Allen said that all four of the guns that had come in by mid-afternoon Wednesday were at least 25 years old.
But I do have a concern.
Reverend Reginald Sappho is pastor of United Faith Missionary Baptist Church. He was hoping the buyback would get to young people who were maybe involved with gangs or drugs and more likely to be keeping and using weapons.
As opposed to granddad who has an extra gun around the house. Hey, let me take this gun, turn it. I don't need it.
Sappho's congregation is just 75 people, but they raised $200 for the buyback in one Sunday. The rest of the money was donated, too, by other churches as well as by individuals, including Loyola professors and students. Sappho's all for repeating the experiment, but with more time to plan.
Maybe we do some concerts or some farms or something that leads up to this buyback kind of thing and then get them to participate, because otherwise it may not accomplish what we are trying to accomplish.
But Sappho says even incremental progress is important for Maywood. The village has seen a few decades of economic decline, and it got a lot of negative attention last October after a local police officer was shot 6 times as he sat in his parked SUV-type cruiser. Authorities still don't know who did it. Loyola's Zoe Smith said the project really came from looking at the community's overall well-being.
I felt that in talking to people when I did health fairs in particular, it's hard to really get people to, focus on worrying about your diabetes and your cholesterol if you don't feel safe in your neighborhood. That affects so many other aspects of your life.
She said people were afraid to come to nutrition and cooking classes she helped with if they were after dark. Fewer guns on the street may be comforting, says Smith, but she thinks the buyback's effect on Maywood is similar to what happens when one person starts making healthy decisions.
Because you volunteered to bring in the gun, and once you've done that, you've said, I want to decrease crime, so I'm going to get rid of my gun. And doing that, if enough people do that and have the conversation with their friends and their neighbors, it helps make a better block. If you add up all those blocks, you have a better Maywood.
A ceasefire representative said things were looking up even before the buyback. During 3 days of warm weather a few weeks ago, there were no shootings. I'm Diantha Parker.
Look for a chance of rain throughout the rest of the week, although not too high a chance. We'll have a mix of clouds and sun across the two-state area today, according to meteorologist Ed Kieser, with scattered showers and thunderstorms developing primarily in the afternoon, and highs ranging from 75 in northern Illinois to 87 in some central and southern locations. Tonight in the north, becoming partly cloudy and cooler. In central and southern sections, still mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows from 47 in the north to 62 in the south. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny in the north. In central sections, mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers. And in the south, clouds with widespread showers and thunderstorms. The highs tomorrow ranging from near 60 degrees near Lake Michigan to 75 in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 1st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.